Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, December 19th, 2023. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, joined in studio this morning by Matt Morgan and Sean Kraft as we embark on another big day here on WGH Talk.
Absolutely. It's our Christmas party.
Well, tonight is the Christmas party. Tonight, yep. Matt, tell them when it is. Tell them when and what it is.
So the Christmas party will be taking place tonight at 7 o'clock till 9 p.m. There will be... apparently they'll be singing. That's apparently a thing that they do.
There every year we do sing. Yes.
There will be retelling of stories from Christmas past, I do believe.
'Twas the night before Christmas. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
I do believe just about everybody who's an on-air personality will be there.
I believe so, and I also believe some from radio station past, as well as Mary Ellen, will be here as a special guest, and Mayor Jack Kellogg getting his Upper Crust Society Award.
That's right.
I mean, what all does happen?
Well, I'm not sure what we said.
Okay, cool. I mean,
fills the 2 hours. That's pretty, with all those people, that pretty much fills the time.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. You gotta, you know.
We're gonna have food.
But we sing for an hour. That's, and I never get to eat
this
at these parties.
This fall is driving me nuts.
Why don't you just eat?
Huh?
Why don't you eat?
Because you don't want to chew on the air, and nobody ever talks very long, so you're kind of stuck. I mean, you could eat during the break, but during the break, you're usually trying to get ready for the singing portion of the show, make sure everybody's got their music.
You just have somebody take over for you, and get food, and then take back over.
Well, that really has never happened.
Why?
I don't know. There seems to be some kind of a vacuum. Because everybody's kind of off doing their own thing, having fun, talking to people. And I've also got, you know, people kind of filter in and filter out.
Yeah, you could be one of those people that, you know,
not when you're hosting the thing.
You'll be back. It's not like you're going anywhere for, you know, a long period of time.
We'll see how it goes tonight. We'll see how it goes. Now, this morning, we also, from 9:15 until 10 a.m., we'll have the last interview with Mayor Scott Schertzer of his 16-year career on this station. 16 years as mayor.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Well, I'm excited for it because it's interesting to think that I was there, I was on air the night he was elected. I've been doing interviews with him for 16 years through pandemics, election nights. I've covered every one of his elections. So it's kind of interesting that it comes to this today.
I mean, 16 years is a long time to, you know, cap.
Well, it's a long time to interview somebody, but, you know, he's had a nice long run, 4 terms, and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, I forget what I was going to say.
Well, the last two mayors have each served 16 years apiece, so it's kind of interesting.
Right. I wonder why he decided not to beat Jack's record.
Well, I don't think he looked at it like that. And I think when I said to him, he thought Jack Kellogg had set the standard for this is how long you do it.
There you go. So nobody else is going to go that far. Probably.
Well, they could. There's no term limit on it. But Schertzer did not feel that he needed to do that.
Yeah. Interesting.
And he does have aspirations to do things on the state level. So, I mean, there is that.
Well, good for him. I hope he goes to the state level.
I don't know what will happen after this year, though. I mean, he'll be free come January the 1st.
Yeah, well, he might just take a break.
Could. It'll be interesting. I'm sure that'll be something we'll talk about in the next hour.
I think the next election I'm going to run for mayor.
If you're alive.
Oh, thank you.
You know, that's about 50-50 at this point.
You never know, right?
You know, we got to wait 4 years for that.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened during the last mayoral election. I think a lot of people say maybe we should have had better candidates. Or just more candidates. More people running. Give people a bigger choice.
Right.
I mean, there were positions that there were no opposition to, so...
There were, the auditor. I don't know how that all happened. There were some city council positions that had no opposition.
It's never good when there's nobody running against the other party.
You know, I think petitions are due on Wednesday for the primaries in May, which are mostly county offices. So I don't know who's running in the county. It'll be interesting to see county commissioner positions, things of that nature. I don't know.
Who all do you think's gonna? How many people do you think are gonna rerun?
Well, Kerr Murray has already said he's going to run again, so we know that for sure. Andy Apfelfeller, I don't know yet.
Can the people that live in the city run for?
Yeah, because you also live in the county.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
I think Jason Schauber said he had expressed interest in running for county commissioner. Now, if he'll turn in his petition or not, I don't know. But we'll find out Wednesday. Tomorrow.
I mean, I guess you never know unless you try. Figure you might as well give it a shot.
Well, he ran before for county commissioner in the primary with Dr. Davis and Ken Stiverson. And he lost in that primary, but maybe it's another shot.
You never know. It's going to be unique.
Well, I'm just happy that last night I went out and got all my shopping done because I had not done any. And I had said that every day, that I had not done any. And I felt the whole thing was weighing on me.
Well, yeah, you almost waited to the last minute.
Well, not on purpose. I just waited on the last minute. Waited to the last minute because there was always something going on. I mean, it seems like I have been scheduled every minute that I've been able to work. I've had this show every morning, doing the tapings at night, the Friday night show, two Christmas tree lightings, the fruitcake toss, city council meetings. It just has been a very, very busy month.
Yeah.
I agree. There's been a lot happening.
I mean, even this month, even this week is very busy. You know, you got the Christmas party tonight, the taping tomorrow night, the radio show on Friday night. It just keeps on rolling right through the holiday. And then after Christmas, everything calms down.
Where else would you rather be, though?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Maybe, if Hawaii on the beach or something?
No. I heard that sales tax in Hawaii is insane because it's a tourist attraction.
Yeah, it's awful. It's really expensive to live out there.
Now, how's your Christmas shopping going?
All done and all wrapped.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, this year, not having a lot to do has probably helped with that.
Yeah, it has.
I think it's really all just a time thing.
Yeah.
Once I was able to go out and do it last night, it was easy to do. Just had to go out and do it.
I have ordered gifts for my mom and my brother. But I think that's it.
You know, it was interesting last night because it was snowing while I was out. So it really did feel like Christmas shopping. I mean, we really got no accumulation from the whole thing. But it did feel like Christmas shopping.
And we're having the exchange this Friday.
Yeah, I think I said that, didn't I? Maybe I didn't.
Oh, you didn't know? Maybe no. I just don't
know. I could have. I might not have.
I'm living like on half sleep today.
No, we're doing the exchange, the homemade gift exchange, which I think will be fun, which I think, because I've always said it's the thought that counts, and I think that's why gift cards are a bad thing. I really think gift cards are what lazy people do. And there are a ton of people who do it.
I like gift cards, though.
Yeah, but I think it's just very lazy.
No, I'm with Sean. Honestly, if I get a gift cards are cool. Because, like, I can't be upset with what you get me because you just gave me money, basically.
Right, but see, that belies the whole point. Why would you ever be upset? with something somebody gave you. They went. They didn't have to get you anything.
Well, you see, what if somebody got me something I wasn't going to use? If I wasn't going to use it, I'd be. I think I wouldn't necessarily be upset. I'd be like, oh, thank you, but it's useless to me.
See, I think the alternative there is not gift card. I think the alternative there is just I'm not going to get you anything.
I mean, I'd be okay with that too. I don't get a lot of people's stuff. So
see, well, that's it. Fine. And I think that's. But this whole gift card craze, I cannot believe all these people who are buying gift cards really have no idea of what anybody wants.
Well, that's the new trend now. It's pretty soon everything's going to be gift cards.
I don't think so. I don't think so because I think people still do like to go to the stores. But I think it's emblematic of our whole society. And people say, well, it doesn't feel like Christmas anymore. Well, I think a big part of that reason is because people don't take much time to do anything for Christmas anymore. Christmas used to be a project. You had to go out and look for gifts. You had to go out and wrap the gifts. You had people strung popcorn for their Christmas tree. People went out and got real Christmas trees. People did things that took time and effort. They would go out caroling. They would do all these things. Now, we don't do that stuff.
Well, I mean, it's more commercialized now.
Well, people say that, but I don't think it's any more commercialized than it has been since Santa Claus became a part of it. I think just think in the last 20 years, we do as little as possible.
I mean, you know, it's a lot easier to do as little as possible now.
But I don't know that it's best to do as little as possible.
I don't know if it's best, but I mean, but that's just what people do now.
Why have we become that type of society?
Trend changes. Nothing stays the same.
Right, but I don't think then people can complain and say, well, it doesn't feel like Christmas.
I don't know. Matt, how come you don't go out and sing in front of people's porches?
Because I don't think I would like it if somebody came to my house and started yelling through my window, too. I'm not cool with that.
I don't think they yell through your window. I think they show up on your porch.
It sounds like harassment.
And they sing Christmas songs.
They show up on my porch and then scream in through my house, yes.
So you feel that caroling would be harassment. Somebody comes up and sings the Wassailing song on your porch and you're going to file charges.
You're telling me that if any other time of year somebody just came to your front porch and started singing, like, I don't know, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, you're telling me that you wouldn't just walk outside and be like, what is going on?
Well, I don't know if that's your traditional Christmas song. I think it's more Jingle Bells.
But I did say outside of, like, so I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but outside of Christmas, if somebody showed up to your house and just started singing some song.
Well, yeah, but I think that's the idea behind it. There are a lot of things we do at Christmas. I think if you put up a tree in your house in July, that would be odd, too. But in December, it's doable.
Unless you're in Santa Claus, Indiana.
What do you need a tree for?
Well, that's how people celebrate the holiday.
You have a tree?
No. Well, at my house, no.
Oh, that's right.
At my grandma's house, they have a tree.
Yeah, I have a little tiny one.
What least is possible. This is what we're talking about.
I mean, I'm not doing anything in my house.
Hey, I put a little tree up this year.
Does anybody have any thoughts on this? By the way, the phone lines are open this first hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
You know, I put a little tiny tabletop tree up.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I'm just saying,
that took work.
Do people go to the effort anymore that they once did? I don't know if they do.
Oh, probably not. No, I think. I mean, there's a lot of some people do still. I mean, I went like to PAL, and I went Christmas light looking last night, and people did a lot of work on those lights. So yeah, some people do still.
Yeah, a lot of people still do, and I think those people probably do feel a little more Christmassy than other people might.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us people are just. The prices of items and everything has skyrocketing now. I mean, you can't get like stuff like back in our day. It was a lot cheaper. Nowadays, it's expensive.
Well, I don't know. I remember being younger, and gifts were, depending on what you got, were expensive. I mean, I remember being young, and a big gift was a Nintendo. That wasn't inexpensive. A lot of people got that for Christmas. And there were a lot of big gifts in those days that were... you know, they weren't cheap.
No, but we use like a, you know...
Everybody used to want a bicycle. Bicycles were not cheap. But I don't even know anybody who wants a bicycle anymore for Christmas.
No, I don't think anybody really...
You used to be able to go out in the front yard and see kids riding bicycles on Christmas morning. That used to be a big thing. Now, no bicycles.
No, people want to play video games now.
Right, which I think is also a change in society. For the good or for the bad, I don't really know.
I don't know. Matt, what do you think about this? This is your era. What do you think?
I think that... I don't play too many video games. I do on occasion, but I think that overall video games are probably a negative. I guess incentivizes people, I guess, in some way, other, like just entertainment wise, to just sit in their house and stare at a screen. Which is probably why a lot of people need glasses and things like that.
So you think the video game craze is a bad craze?
I think there are definitely adverse health effects to it, yes. But, like, overall, I don't know how bad it is.
Well, adverse health effects sounds bad.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, but there's adverse health effects from doing just about anything.
Well, I don't think riding a bike has an adverse health effect. I think that's a positive health effect.
I think if you crashed your bike and then, like, skid your knee or something, that's probably, like, considered an adverse health effect.
Well, I don't know that we want a crash. Crash is not the goal.
I don't think the eye strain's the goal either, but it happens.
Right, but just doing it will cause the eye strain.
Just riding the bike, you're probably going to crash at some point.
But, again, not the goal.
Once again, not to go for the eye strain.
This is like saying driving a car is bad because you could get in a wreck, and a lot of people will.
I think people are less social now in the public realm. Like, outside of their houses, they're less social than they are on the internet. People are more likely to open up with people. I don't know about open up, but talk to people over, like, the headset through the video game. Then if you leave outside and all of a sudden you can see people, nobody wants to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's a problem. Less social. And why have we become a society of less social graces?
Because it sounded better to just sit inside and play video games, I guess.
Well, I don't know. There have always been video games. Like I said, there have been Nintendos, there were Ataris before that, there were Segas, but now it's really like a life. People will do it daylight to dark.
I mean, I think that's because games have just gotten so much better than back then, and the same thing with, like, the processing power on computers. You can run, like, much bigger, better things now than you could before. Like, the biggest computers in... 2010 or something like that were roughly, you could probably call them potatoes compared to today's computers.
You know, I was talking with some people last night, and they were talking about how it does not feel like Christmas. And I've said this before, the year we had the 70-degree day on Christmas Eve, I thought, boy, it does not feel like Christmas. Now, I'm talking about the warmth. But this is December temperatures, and we had snow yesterday. Why do you think it doesn't feel like Christmas? And here we are, 6 days away.
Probably the atmosphere in America that we have right now going on with everything in the world.
Now, what would that be, specifically?
I mean, we have a lot of stuff going on in the world today. You know, we have... You know, possibly wars going, get ready to happen. We have,
but I mean, that used to be a Christmas thing. I mean, during World War II, people who were away from home, that was a very sentimental thing. Certainly during Vietnam, Bob Hope used to do his Christmas shows overseas. That was something we all watched together. That used to go with the holidays.
Yeah, but I think it's changed a little since then. People don't go over there like Bob Hope did and go over to the troops and sing for them and stuff.
I think it's because people don't care. People are very... Like, the Christmas party we do tonight is a rarity now. where people will get together and they'll sing and they'll have food and they'll enjoy each other. That doesn't normally happen now.
I think that it still happens to, I don't know about the same extent as when, how it used to, but I think that it still happens roughly about the same. I think there's probably just less attendance, though.
Well, I know that Christmas parties that happen at places that have a lot of people who work there, most people don't go to the Christmas party.
And also, global warming is a lot of the issues. I mean, back when we were growing up, you used to snow on Christmas Day. You used to get a
but
lot
not,
of snow.
But not always.
Not always, but most of the time. We used to get a lot of snow.
So you're saying if we get snow on
Christmas, we don't get a lot of snow like we did.
Well, we did last year. And that didn't feel like Christmas to me. That was a nightmare.
Yeah, we didn't get as much as we normally do. We got, what, 3 or 4 inches?
No, it was enough to keep people stuck at home and drifting and
yeah, my car did not,
cold temperatures.
My car did not move for 3 days.
We were on a level 3.
Well, I don't remember that, but I must have, wherever I was, I don't even know where I was at the time.
So I don't know if snow even does it. And then a couple years ago, I remember when people were leaving my house on Christmas Eve, it was snowing like crazy.
I think that part of it is probably because Christmas used to be just a holiday that was full of tradition. There were just things you did on Christmas.
And now people don't care.
That now, they've just slowly, like, killed off traditions after tradition. So, like, it's, when Christmas time comes, it's kind of like how you said that people don't like, I don't know, carol anymore.
String popcorn.
Yeah, like, that's just, like, I didn't even know that
people used to put chains on trees.
I didn't even know that stringing popcorn on a tree was Christmassy until I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw it in, like, a book, and I was like, why is there popcorn on this tree?
You know, and all the kids in school used to make Christmas ornaments that they would bring home, and those would be on the Christmas tree. I don't see a whole lot of that going on anymore. People used to exchange Christmas cards like crazy. That doesn't go on anymore.
Oh, they do all everything through email now.
And nobody wants an email Christmas card.
I mean, that's what
that's pathetic.
That's the way it's going. Have you noticed the...
If you emailed me a Christmas card, I would delete that thing and put it in a delete box.
But you know, by the way, Christmas is my favorite holiday.
Again, that's back to laziness. Emailing a Christmas card.
Well, I just think it's easier.
Right, lazy.
Just like
easy is just another word for lazy. Put that in the quote book.
I don't know about that.
You still have to put. You still gotta get on your keyboard.
No, I want you to go to a store. I want you to pick out a card. I want you to write a message in there. I want you to stuff it in an envelope. I want you to put a stamp on it. I want you to send it out through a mailbox, post office, and then I get it.
I'll just do COD. You can pay for this postage.
Again, a lazy thing to do during the holidays. And then when the person gets it, they send one back. That's how you used to compile your Christmas card list.
Well, listen, pretty soon...
You know, the more I speak, the better the voice gets, the longer it gets. I should have had a nice warm glass of tea this morning, and I'd be perfect right now.
Green tea.
Not green tea. Any warm substance on your vocal cords will help.
But green tea is good for you. No, what I'm saying...
I think my health is okay right now. Nice of you to be concerned about it, though.
You're welcome. What I'm saying, though, is pretty soon... Matt, you agree with me on this or not? Pretty soon, stores are all going to be obsolete on cards. There ain't going to be no more cards in stores. So all going to be.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've got a few. We're still getting a few. And by the way, you can send us Christmas cards, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302, WGH Talk. Never miss a point to plug. And if you put your return address in there, we will send your card back, and
email.
We will read it on the air. And we'll put it on the wall here with our other cards we have.
Don't forget to put your email in there because we can email it to you.
We will not email you anything. If you put your email in there, we'll put your card in the garbage. Merry Christmas!
Oh, boy.
So, I don't know... I don't know that Christmas... I don't know that they're... I think they'll probably... go down in terms of, like, value and sales and things like that, because less people buy Christmas cards than what used to, I think, probably. But also, I think that sending Christmas cards is still very much a thing. Like, I get Christmas cards. Unfortunately, I don't send Christmas cards in return.
I don't either.
Well, see, again,
is that kind of mean?
Well, I don't know if it's not mean. It's just poor manners. It means you were raised wrong.
No, I'll tell you why I don't return the cards. It's not because I'm lazy. It's because I just don't know what to say to them in the cards. I can't, you know, I don't know what to reply back to them.
I mean, you can always just go with something generic like Merry Christmas, Sean.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Maybe it is part of laziness, I guess, but...
You could just say Happy Holidays to you and your family. You know, at Christmas, do you remember the days when people would write, they'd have like a family newsletter of everything that would happen in their family for the year, and that they would use the Christmas card to put that in there and send it out? You know, Johnny went off to college, and Betsy graduated fifth grade, and Grandma passed away, and you would tell your whole year,
you know,
in a Christmas card.
I feel like a lot of those things you listed off were things that you should probably know. And if you didn't know those things, I don't know that I should be sending
you
a Christmas card.
Not if you don't live in the same state.
I
can't keep up with everything you're doing day to day. Send me a note.
I mean, if something like that happens, I assume you spread the news, you know?
Hey, listen, I had a relative pass away a year ago, and somebody recently in the last week asked me how they were doing.
That's
so there you go.
That's one of those things that you post on Facebook, and then...
No, I don't post the death on Facebook.
No death.
Did that not happen?
Yeah.
I had a relative dead for a year, and in the last week, a person said, how are they doing? See, that person needed a Christmas card.
But you make a Facebook post, and then all of a sudden, look at that. All the people that you're going to send the Christmas card already know.
See, there you are. Back to the social media.
I don't really use the social media. I'm just like, what's the point in writing it down?
Honestly, you got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, you got to keep up with the technology. If you don't keep up with the technology...
I think keeping up with the Joneses is not a good thing to do.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, if you don't, then...
If you're constantly striving to do what everybody else is doing, then you're not doing anything because...
Who are the Joneses?
I don't know.
And why do they have a lot of money? Why are they always ahead?
Wasn't it some family from some movie or show?
I don't know. I've never understood that phrase. Keeping up with the Joneses.
We'll find out.
What about the Smiths?
But anyway, so you got to keep up with the technology. If you don't keep up with the technology, you're going to be left in the dark.
I mean...
Well, you can keep up with the technology. I just don't know why you have to throw everything out that was tradition.
Because time changes.
Well, then I think, again, we can't complain... When we say it doesn't feel like Christmas.
Well, I think it just doesn't feel like Christmas because it's not snowing.
Like Christmas oranges. What happened to Christmas oranges? Everybody used to have oranges on their table. Stockings filled with oranges. Gone.
Well, that's because it caused too many flies and...
Well, no, it wasn't. It was something that was done right around Christmas time.
I'm not sure why they stopped that, but... Or maybe people just didn't like them anymore. I don't know.
Stop what?
The Christmas oranges.
Christmas oranges?
Yeah, see, that was a Christmas tradition.
We used to put them in people's stockings.
I like oranges. I'm cool with that.
Well, but, you know.
Tell your mom to put one in your stocking.
My mom buys me oranges anyways. When I go over to my mom's house, she just got oranges there, and she's like, I buy them for you because I know you'll eat them when you come over here.
But at Christmas, stores used to have a run on oranges. There would be a lot more oranges available for sale at Christmas time.
That's an interesting one.
It was kind of like eggnog and things like that. Fruitcake.
And nobody eats the fruitcake.
Well, somebody does.
Well, yeah, that's
I
fair.
Don't.
They fly. I've never had fruitcake.
Oh, it's gross. I tried it before and I about upchopped.
You know,
fruitcakes fly off the shelf.
I put my fruitcake that I bought the one day in the fridge because at some point I intend on trying it. And it says serve chilled, so I figured I would do that.
Well, good luck, okay?
Like a fine wine. It's one of those things some people like, some people don't.
Yeah. I don't like it, you don't like it.
No. I've never liked it, and I don't even remember where the dislike came from, but it was immediate.
Yeah. I couldn't even get it. I had to spit it out. I couldn't even swallow it. Once it hit my tongue, it just like... It was gross.
I looked it up, by the way.
Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Yeah. Yep. The phrase originates with the comic strip Keeping Up with the Joneses, created by Arthur R. Pop Mommond in 1913. The strip ran until 1940 in the New York World and various other newspapers. The strip depicts the social climbing of the McGinnis family, who struggle to keep up with their neighbors, the Joneses of the title.
So the Auditor's family had something to do with this, the McGinnis family?
Spelled differently.
How fascinating. It all kind of comes back to a circle.
It seems
one big circle.
I don't know. So prior to 1913, what did you keep up with? It wasn't the Joneses.
I guess you would.
I guess it was Smith.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What a tragedy.
I guess so. I'm surprised they stopped selling it if it lasted from 1913 to 1940 being sold.
I don't know.
I mean, that's
a lot of comic strips run their course. That's becoming a thing of the past. Comic strips.
I used to like reading comic strips in like the newspaper.
Yeah, they were nice.
I got a few of them. Not a whole lot.
I did an interview one time. I think it was with the Lulu comic, which ran a long time. And I did an interview with the artist who was doing Lulu for the final time, because I think she went away. And they took it out of the newspapers.
So what happened to her? She just had to find a new job? What happened there?
Well, I think it was a guy who drew it. So he was just out of work, I guess.
Oh. Well, that's rough.
It happens.
Yeah.
Everybody runs their course at some point.
Just like
even Lulu.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a weird thing how stuff happens.
Big city council meeting tonight.
So what's it going to be about?
Well, I think it's going to be about the pay raises and paying a lot of the fines in the city. That seemed to be the agenda that I saw.
Huh. So, and hopefully... Mayor will veto it.
I don't know. That's up to him. We'll talk to him about it when he comes in.
Yeah.
Today we're going to try to do some current events with the mayor, but also reflect back on 16 years. I think there comes a point for reflection.
Yeah.
You know, reflecting on 16 years in like 30 minutes has got to be fun.
Well, it's going to be difficult because we want to do the reflection, and we also want to cover the current events. But really, you know, current events right now are really about the pay raises and the whole auditor situation.
Yeah, hopefully one of them will speak. Either Bill or her will speak, see what's going on with that.
Well, I think people would like to have that sorted out. I think if we just got it sorted out, I think we'd be fine. I don't think there'd be so much question about what's going on.
Well, there's definitely something going on over the city bus area, that's for sure. A whole bunch of people are just leaving over there.
Well, I just think the question is when was the position offered, and what does that all mean? That's the question.
I mean, she probably got a raise, too, for doing the bus.
I doubt the transit makes more than the auditor.
Probably not, but...
Director of transit.
But maybe you got, a raise in that position, though. I mean, not making the same as the auditor, but making more money than... Than the actual
person. I don't know. I that is an issue.
I don't know.
You know, the last time I interviewed Mayor Schertzer was last Monday night. It was right after all that went down. And we've learned a lot since then. So there'll be something to talk about here this morning in regard to that.
That's always good.
It's going to be interesting. But I guess Mayor is leaving it at a good time, because right now our place is a mess.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, stop. Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing all right. I just wanted to comment on on this auditor situation.
Oh, go right ahead.
I think the incoming mayor has cleverly resolved the problem of the auditor. He has found a way to move her on in a comfortable manner, and is able to hire hopefully somebody competent enough to resolve all the issues. And he gave the auditor what she wanted, which is employment. And he found a way to bring in somebody who can hopefully get the job done. So I think he should be applauded for resolving a situation that was previously unresolved.
Well, I think the question, though, I don't think anybody's going to object to the auditor McGinnis not being the auditor anymore. I think the problem is that did he offer her a job to get her out of that position?
And Of course he did. That was her inducement to move on. Otherwise, she would be unemployed. Of course, he offered her the job. But what's the problem with that?
Well, I think a lot of people that I have talked to, and again, it's not my thing, feel that is, I hate to use this stark terminology, but they feel that she was bribed to get out of that position because.
So what's wrong with that? It's not an illegal bribe. He gave her an inducement to move on so that they could resolve the situation.
Well, I think because a lot of people feel that government is doing things behind their back, and what qualifications does she have to be the head of transit, which is an appointed position rather than an elected, which the auditor is. So basically, you gave her a job that somebody might have been qualified to do just to get her out of a job that apparently she wasn't doing well, and you had to offer her this position to get her out of that job.
The people just reelected her. The public wants her in office. And he found a way to give her employment and to, move her on and get somebody in there, hopefully qualified, to do it.
Right, but what...
I think there's a lot of sour grapes going on from the other politicians because they weren't either clever enough or powerful enough to get the job done.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to ask the mayor this.
100 miles away. So that,
well, I just don't know because I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. If you're saying somebody is, huh?
You're supposed to resolve problems as a politician, as the head of the city. He resolved the problem.
Right, but I don't know if getting somebody out of position entails guaranteeing them a position that maybe they have no qualifications for just because it happens to be open.
But look at it this way. If she's not qualified for the Department of Treasury or the Transportation, it's a lot easier for him to remove her at a future time.
Well, that's true, but see, and again, does she realize that? See, I don't know...
I'm sure she does. I mean, because if she's looking for some sort of job security, then she now has to work and make her case, on a daily basis. Whereas, being in an elect position, it might not have been as impressive to her to get the job done.
Well, let's say we worked at McDonald's, and let's say you were horrible at making the hamburgers. So you're just a horrible employee at making the hamburgers. You talk to other people. You don't do your job. You don't keep up with the line. So just to get you out of that position, we're going to put you on the janitorial crew. I'm not going to fire you. We're just going to put you on the janitorial crew and take up another job. And I think that's why people don't like the sound and the look of this.
That happens all the time. That happens all the time. If you can't fire somebody, you move them aside so that you can get the job done.
Well, I think we should ask Mayor Schertzer then, why didn't he do this?
Because he didn't have the power to do it. Either that or he didn't think of doing it.
Well, see, we'll see. But he didn't. He does have the power to do it. He could have offered her the transit job.
Yes, but he couldn't have reappointed somebody at that point. It wasn't up to him.
To the head of transit?
Well, no, he couldn't reappoint a new auditor.
So you think Bill held off till after the first of the year so he could appoint the auditor?
Oh, yes.
So this is even more layered.
that it's good layered. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know the legalities of it and what goes on down there. I would assume, because you had at least three city council people that I know of asking for the resignation. You had the mayor asking for her resignation, and yet she did not...
She knew her days were numbered, because at some point they're going to get rid of her.
Right. So I don't know if it's proper to offer somebody a position just to get them out of that position. Because clearly, I think the reason people would not resign would be because they don't want to give up the position. I don't think that was a shock to anybody.
She didn't want to be unemployed. I mean, she probably had a family to take care of as well.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. If nothing was done wrong and it's on the level, I don't think anybody will have a problem with it.
All right, and sometime I'm going to have to tell you the rest of the story about what happened on the fruitcake toss. There is a story behind the story regarding the plaques.
Oh, really?
Oh, really.
Okay, well, we'll hear more about that.
I'll let you go.
Bye-bye. Jack Kellogg coming in tonight, by the way, to do his acceptance of the Upper Crust Society Award, so we're looking forward to that. The Christmas party tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Well, there's some thoughts on the whole auditor situation. What do you think?
I think he's probably on the right path there, I think. I think he kind of nailed it on the head. The auditor was waiting to do it.
I think it might not.
Oh, I'm sorry, the
mayor-elect?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, caller.
I think that caller that was just on there hit the nail on the head, and I think I agree with him. I think I really agree with him, because it does make a lot of sense to me. Makes a lot of sense. I was against it before, but now I think it was a smart move.
Now, why do you feel that this was not done in the last 3 months?
Well, I think it probably was, but like the gentleman says, it was a smart move, and it looks like it was the only way, because she had her heels dug in, and she wasn't going to resign, and she just got reelected because nobody ran against her, and we were going to be stuck with her unless the council could go through all of that rigmarole they've been talking about that they didn't use to get rid of Langdon, which I don't understand. If they did have a way to get him out of there, why they didn't do it before all of this happened. But it would have been a big, long, drawn-out process to get her out of there, because she had her heels dug in.
So the proper way to get rid of Langdon should have been just to offer him another position.
No, the council has told us, or at least that Schauber, when you had him on there, that there was a way that they could file some petitions or something or other. I don't remember what, but it was sounded like a lot of paperwork and a lot of red tape that they would have to go through to do it, but that's what they were going to do. But they didn't do that back when, way back, and remember when Mayor was on your program and he would complain about this all the time, of the how horrible the auditor was doing and stuff, but nobody would do anything until now that the city is in bad shape. But I think that this was a good solution.
Well, we've got the mayor coming in 15 minutes, so we'll ask him these questions.
Yeah, but I have changed my whole attitude now.
Oh, well, no.
Because before, all I was thinking was corruption, you know. Just like back when they first brought up changing the salary, when they already had it approved for the 75, that was an automatic deal that was going to happen in January. And then they tacked on that other. I was looking at corruption at that point. And then when this happened, again, I thought, well, you know. But now I see this guy that just called in. I see his whole side of it. And And I think it was a smart move. You can go ahead and talk to Scott about it, because he's a reasonable man, too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, we got to go to break, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Mayor Schertz are coming up in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Being appointed Treasurer of the United States, 50 years since getting into politics in 1969 and having two schools named for you this year. That's a big year, Mary Ellen. What a year it's
right.
been.
It's been a good year.
It's been a good year. And we're going to roll into the, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, Mary Ellen Withrow.
Dear Editor, I'm 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hanlon, 115 West 95th Street. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world around him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would the world be if there was no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there was no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The external light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished.